I'm dressed slightly different today. Just a little bit. Well, I've got great news. It's opening day for baseball, and I'm excited. And I have got no shame, okay? The Phillies are in it right now. I got a Philly fan right back here and right here. I am excited because the Phillies actually have a shot until they start playing. After that, it could be a bit dicey. But I think even though it's raining outside, it's a great day. It's opening day for baseball, and I love that. And so, you know what? I want to share with you the good news of my team, and I've already gotten a lot of grief on this, okay? But I'm saying I'm so excited because I think when you got good news, you got to share it. And it's opening day, and your team has a chance. Every team has a chance. And so when we talk about good news, I want to keep going. And I know Sarah's done such an amazing job already, and she's got an amazing family. And if you don't know it, Sarah, can you share just some good news about your family?
Hannah is three. She turned three last week. She's going to preschool. And little Micah, who's back there, he's going to be 6 months. And he's just working on sitting up myself. So that's a little bit about it.
And, you know, if you got to see Sarah's family, just a great family and great kids and so sweet. And I encourage you, just get to know them. They're just awesome. But the good news doesn't stop there. We have a world traveler in our midst, Van Wren. Many people know Van, but he's been traveling all over the globe. So share some of your traveling.
This last week, actually a week ago, was spring break. So my wife said, well, I really want to go see the Midler on Broadway. And I said, okay, well, so she got tickets for Bette Midler on Broadway. So that meant we were going to New York. But then we also wanted to get some sun. So then we decided, well, let's spend a few days in New York and then a few days in the Caribbean at a resort. And so we made the crazy decision to both go to New York and then all the way to the Caribbean in 1 week, which meant that you had to pack for two different, wildly different climates, which was crazy. But, you know, you meet so many different people when you're going out on trips and going everywhere. So I think one of the things that I realized was that I had to make sure that I reflected to all these different people that I encountered the love of Christ.
Yeah, amen. You know, when you go on a vacation, you want to share. People put pictures up on the internet and you tell people because you had such a great time and what a great resort. And when you've got an amazing family, you want to talk about your kids. And if I brought any grandparent up here and said, you have 30 seconds to talk about your grandkids, you would just tell me to be quiet and you go on for about an hour. Okay? Because we love to share good news about our kids, our grandkids, our trips, our favorite team. We love to do that. But when I say, hey, we need to go share our faith, everybody starts to backpedal just a little bit. Because it's like, well, that's not really my thing. You know, I'm not comfortable with it. That's really the pastor's job and the staff's job and the elders. That's not my job. What if somebody asks me a question I don't know? What do I do if I don't have the answer? And so what we do then is say, well, sharing my faith is not my job. I think Jesus would not agree with that when he says, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we're going to make disciples, we have to share our faith. But the question we get stuck on is, how? How do we share our faith? Where do I begin when it comes to sharing my faith? Let's see what Paul says. Paul says this in Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul says if we're going to share our faith, it has to start in prayer. We need to be intentionally praying that God would open a door for us to share our faith. Paul's in prison when he wrote this. If I was in prison, I would be praying that God would open the prison door so I could get out. But Paul looked at everything as an opportunity. And he said, God, pray, please open a door so I can share my faith. Whatever context I'm in, would you give me that chance, God, to share my faith? Now, we know what it's like to pray for open doors. We pray that God would open the door so we get that house. Pray that God would open the door so we get that job. Pray that God would open the door that we could get on that sports team. Or pray that God would open a door for this, that, and the other thing. We all know what it's like to pray for God to open doors. The question is, do we pray that God would open a door so we could share our faith? So we could share our excitement, our joy of what God has done in our life. And see, I think that God opens doors every day. We just don't see them. He opens the door. If you're a student, he opens a door at school. If you're working, he opens the door at your job. If you have neighbors, he opens the door with your neighbors. He opens the door when you are at Target or the grocery store. But have we been praying for it? If we're not praying that God would open a door, then we're not going to realize when that door is opened. But if we pray, God, please open the door that I could share my faith at school, at work, in the neighborhood, at the grocery store, at my kids' sporting events, God will open that door. Now, we often say, but if God opens the door, I don't know what to say. Well, Paul says here, Lord, give me the words. Give me clarity that I may proclaim it clearly. See, if we pray that God would open doors, we also can pray, God, open my mouth. Give me the words so that I know what to say. I know how to say it to different people. And if we ask God to give us the words after we've prayed for him to open the doors, God is faithful. And God will open the doors and God will open our mouths and God will give us the words that we need. But we have to be intentionally praying that God would open the doors and open our mouths, open our lips, so that we can share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see, what Paul talks about here is he says, and you need to do it, be wise on how you interact with outsiders. And when he's talking about outsiders, he's talking about people who don't know the good news of the gospel. What Paul is really underlying saying is be radically relational. Hang around people that don't follow the Lord. If the only people that we know are Christians, how are we going to share the good news with people who already know the good news? We've got to be willing to be radically relational with people who don't have any type of faith and say, let me share with you the good news and be wise. Get to know them, hear their story, hear their heart. And then I guarantee you, if you pray, God, can you just open the door so that I could share my story and my heart with my coworker, my fellow student, my neighbor, with somebody who doesn't know you, God will open that door through being radically relational. Paul says, be like the salt. You know, salt is used as an additive to give flavor or a preservative to keep alive. In fact, Paul is quoting Jesus here when he says, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. We're called to be salt. We're called to season the good news. And that means to make it personal. What has God done in your life? Where were you before you met God? How did you meet God? And how do you live now? That is sharing our faith. Sometimes we think sharing our faith is going through 35 different doctrines and quoting all of these scriptures, and for some that's part of it, but really it's just sharing our story. Here's where I was, here's how I met God, and here's how God has changed me. But it begins in prayer. We must be prayerful. We must say, God, please open a door. God, please give me the words. God, please help me be wise in how I interact with people. And God, please help me flavor this with the truth. So the first step in sharing our faith, if you're writing this down, is begin with a foundation of prayer. Most important thing. Now, secondly, the question is, when God opens that door and you walk through that door, well, what do you do then? How should you respond? You know, Joe was talking about David. David was a great man. David was an incredibly flawed man. David made a lot of different mistakes in his life. He wasn't perfect. Let's be very clear on that. But there was one thing that David did, and I want to read to you in Psalm 40. He says this, I proclaim your saving acts to the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak to your faithfulness and worship and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. David had no shame in God's game. See, David was unashamed of his relationship with God. He wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't shy. He said, I've got a relationship with God, and I just want to tell you about it because it's changed me. It's changed my life. It's changed eternity. He was unashamed to say, I have a relationship with God. And what he says here is he really reveals five characteristics of God. And again, if you want to write these down, five characteristics of God. He reveals God's righteousness. Do we understand the righteousness of God? That God is an incredibly righteous God. Number two, the faithfulness of God. God is so faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to God. The salvation that only God can provide through a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. David celebrated that it wasn't up to him to save himself. It wasn't works, it wasn't righteousness, it wasn't perfection, because he was none of those things. It was God. It was God's loving kindness. God is so loving and so kind and so forgiving. And the fifth thing is God's truth. The truth of who we are. We are sinners. We are sinners. And we can't save ourselves. We can't earn our way into heaven. We can't be enough of a good person or morality or religion. None of that matters to God. And David understood that because David was a flawed man who had made lots of mistakes. But the one thing he got right is he wasn't ashamed of his relationship with God. He was unashamed because he remembers and he knows where God brought him from. If you go back a little earlier in this psalm, beginning of Psalm 40, it says this. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me. He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. David knew where he was. He was in a pit. He was in a slimy pit, and that was going to hell. And he's like, but God saved me. God saved me. He put me on solid ground. Imagine for a moment, just a horrible case scenario. Your house is on fire and you can't get out, and somebody comes in and they rescue you out. And right when they pull you out, your whole house collapses. That if that person did not come in and pull you out of that burning house, well, the worst could have happened. Would you not go around praising that person? Man, this firefighter, and his name was Bill, or her name was Sally, they came in, and they saved me, they pulled me right out from the fire. You'd be like, wow! You wouldn't just send them a card on Christmas and Easter. You would praise them all. You'd be unashamed. Say, this is my friend right here, saved me from a burning building. This right here, saved me. I was going down in flames. This person saved me. You would be talking about them all the time. Yeah, what do we do with Jesus? Get behind me, Jesus. Get behind me. I don't want people to see you. Get behind me. David was unashamed. It's amazing what happens when we don't hide our relationship with God. We don't hide our relationship with our spouse. When we go to parties, we say, this is my spouse. We don't hide our relationship with our kids, except when they act up in Target and we pretend we don't know them. I mean, that's completely biblical and acceptable. Parents know that. But we don't hide relationships in our life. We can't be ashamed of our relationship with God. If we're going to share our faith, people need to know we have a relationship with God. There's a great story in Acts 8. An Ethiopian official, an Ethiopian eunuch, went to worship. And after worship, while he was coming back, he was trying to read the scriptures and understand them, but just couldn't understand them. And he wanted to know what the scriptures were talking about, who they were pointing to. And then God opens a door for Philip. And the eunuch says, I don't understand what this is about. Listen to what happens next. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. See, Philip was unashamed of his relationship with God. And Philip was a guy that wanted open doors. And God used him. And do you know that Ethiopian eunuch was baptized and became a follower of Christ? When we pray for God to open doors, and when we pray that God would give us the words, and when we are unashamed of our relationship with God, Lives are changed. It's not about quoting 39 scriptures to somebody. It's not about going through doctrines. It's about sharing, here's my relationship with God. And here's where I was, and here's where I am. You know, when I look at Paul and I look at David, and they're amazing people, but I think they had something figured out that we often struggle with, that we don't always recognize, is they know who they are. And before that they were kings, and before they were teachers and apostles, before they were anything, they understood clearly who they were. They were ambassadors of peace for God. Listen to what Paul says here, 2 Corinthians. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What Paul was saying is, we are ambassadors of peace. We are called to come and to bring the message of peace, that there can be peace between God and people. So many people don't realize that they are actually enemies of God. That enemies of God is somebody who thinks they can be moral or religious or kind. Those are great things, but that doesn't make you right with God. The only thing that makes us right with God is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where we say, I am saved by the blood of Christ, where I am unashamed to say that Jesus is my Savior. See, Paul and David and so many others understood they were ambassadors for peace. People sometimes can be enemies with God. But when you have an ambassador, and understand what the role of an ambassador then and now, you are sent by someone else with someone else's message. It's not your message. It's not your words. You have been sent. We have been sent. We are ambassadors of peace. And sometimes we don't prioritize our lives that way. We sometimes think, well, I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a cousin, I'm all these different things. I'm an employee. I'm that. Before anything else, we are ambassadors of peace for the hope of Jesus Christ. Paul understood that his whole life, his whole mission, everything he did was built on the cross. Listen to what he says here. He says this, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. That's got to be priority number one. Number one thing in our life is I got to finish the task that God has given me, and that's to share my faith. And I got to pray that God would open doors. I've got to be unashamed to talk about my relationship with God, and I got to understand who I am. In God's eyes, I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador at school. I'm an ambassador on the athletic field. I'm an ambassador at my job. I'm an ambassador in the neighborhood. I'm an ambassador at Target. I'm an ambassador everywhere, because we are called, and not just individually, but corporately. Corporately, we need to be praying that God would open doors for Three Timbers, that we can be ambassadors of peace. That's why it's so important that we have this work day at Legacy, because we have a chance to impact an entire group of people in our community by saying, those people at Three Timbers are ambassadors for something bigger than themselves. When it comes to sharing our faith, our Rooted class that we're going to start after Easter, we're going to teach you how to share your faith in 90 seconds. We're going to teach you, because we want to be ambassadors of peace. I needed an ambassador of peace in sixth grade. I was in the library. Our whole class was in the library. And this one boy, Mike, was really being rude to this other girl, Christine, just saying very rude and disrespectful things. And I said, hey, Mike, that's not nice. You need to stop it. And he says, well, what are you going to do about it? I don't know. I just don't think you should do that. And he says, you and me after school. I thought, great, he wants to talk like gentlemen. I can appreciate that. This man clearly wants to get into a cerebral discussion of how to speak to. I got it. So we walked home after school. Both of us walked home. And as we walked home, all of a sudden, the two of us are standing here, and there's a circle of his friends and a circle of my friends. At that moment, I realized he did not want to talk like gentlemen and resolve this issue. And before I knew it, he hauled back, and he just nailed me right in the face. The good news is the ground broke my fall. It immediately broke my fall. I was out. It was over. You know, and as everybody kind of disperses and goes away, my friends pick me up and they say, man, one more punch and we were going to jump in. I said, one more punch, I would have been dead. What were you waiting for? How long are we going to let people take one more punch before we step in as an ambassador of peace? How long are we going to let people go through tough times and fear and doubt and worry and anxiety before we step in because we're an ambassador of peace? My friends had an opportunity to step in and help me not go through a very painful time, but they chose not to. How often do we do that? We don't pray for open doors, we're ashamed of our relationship, and we don't realize that we are ambassadors. We can do this. You can share your faith. Pray that God would open the door. Be unashamed of your relationship with God. Know that you're an ambassador. I want to end with this text, and I'm going to ask Sarah and the music ministry to come back up. I love this passage from Romans 10, and I'd encourage you to really meditate on this passage as we reflect on this song. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Man, I want to have pretty feet. I really want to have beautiful feet. And I want all of you to have beautiful feet. There are people in your life right now that need you to share your faith, that need you to share your story, that need you to say, I'm not going to let you get punched. Because how beautiful our feet will be when we share the good news. Let's think about that as we hear this song.